to Creative Process with myself, Jared Klein, episode 98. Obviously, we have a guest on, as we always have a guest on. We'll get into Chris very, very shortly here. But first off, I want to thank you for coming out today. If you missed last episode with Nick Gugas, go check out episode 97. It was fantastic to talk with him about designing for the coveted and amazing franchise, the Kansas City Chiefs. Chris and I probably have different opinions on the Kansas City Chiefs, but go listen to that episode if you haven't already. But yeah, anyways, Chris, thank you for joining me today on this amazing, what is it, a Thursday? It's a Thursday evening.
Of course, anytime. Happy to join.
Yeah, this should be fun. We were talking a little bit before the podcast. What'd you say, 2015?
Yeah, 2015 is when we first started talking, I think.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we'll get into that, I'm sure. But anyways, if you can introduce yourself to the people who don't know who you are, and then we'll kind of get into everything that we have on the docket. So yeah,
definitely. Yeah, so I'm Chris, like Jared said. I've been a graphic designer for a little over 10 years now, primarily in the sports space for the last 5 years. It's 5 to 6 years, I would say. And primarily right now, I'm a freelance designer, so I work with a lot of different clients all around the sports industry, and really just, you know, hoping to make a lasting mark on the industry. I think, you know, over the years, I've learned a lot, and I'm happy to join this podcast and share what I've learned over the years.
For sure. Yeah, I'm excited to have you on. I mean, you reached out, you know, wondering if just saying that you would love to be on, and I was like, shit, okay, I'll take you up on the offer. So yeah, this will be a fun podcast. When you did say that we started connecting in 2015, that just goes back so far. Like you said, you started designing in what, 2013? I think you said, right?
Yeah. So I was trying to be a Call of Duty YouTuber back then. I know we both come from that gaming community. Yeah. So that's how I got into learning how to design. And then 2013 is when I really just started to pick up on it.
Hell yeah. Yeah. I want to say, let's see, I'm 25 now. I started designing when I was 13. So is that about the same as you?
Yeah. I started at 13 as well.
Yeah. Okay. So pretty similar timelines here. Yeah. That's crazy. Like the whole, yeah, I think like I just wanted to start designing like my thumbnails for YouTube videos. That's where it started. I don't know if that started with you.
Exactly the same.
Yeah. So it's very similar, very similar. But yeah, so you said you work primarily as a freelance designer, and a big thing with freelance design is client relations and that whole aspect of it. Because obviously, you know, to be a freelance designer, to call yourself a freelance designer, you have to get clients and you have to have clientele, especially recurring clientele for you to have a career, to say the least. I guess, what was your journey into freelance design? I mean, it's different for everyone. Some people start at a full-time position. Some people jump into freelance design right away. So what was your journey kind of getting into freelance design? And then I'll ask some follow-up questions to that.
Yeah. So kind of the journey I got into freelance, I mean, overall, I've pretty much always done freelance just because, you know, we started at the age of 13 and we weren't even, you know, old enough to get an actual job. So this was our way to make, you know, money on the side. Right. But that's pretty much how I got into freelance. As far as within the sports industry, I've had a few kind of in-office roles with various companies, but overall, just kind of always have been, you know, networking, building those connections around, and it's really just led to some amazing opportunities that all fall kind of under this on the side and freelance type thing, to where the point I'm at now, I can kind of just do all of that full time as I have enough of a client foundation built up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's always like a scary thing getting into freelance design. I don't know about it like with you when you initially started, but when I initially started, it was like, it was always the question about like, will these clients come back? Like getting clients is tough enough in the start, you know, being able to get your first client, being able to, you know, get that first piece of work that you're doing that's not through an employer. You know, that's always like a big milestone. That was a huge milestone for me. But when it comes to client relations, I mean, I wrote some notes. Obviously, you saw those, but I have like three bullet points that I want to talk about. But first off, when it comes to communication, in your experience working with clients, I guess I don't want to ask the cliche of how important is communication, but you know, along those lines, you know, where like is communication with you like valued highly, or is there like, has there ever been like a middleman like that situation where you've had to work through, or has it just been like you and the client just working hand in hand?
Yeah. So I would say for my freelance career, it's probably been about 90% just me working directly with clients.
Okay.
I don't think it's cliche to say that, you know, it is the most important thing. I think saying that it's a cliche makes it the most important thing, if that makes sense.
That's true. Yeah, that's very true.
But definitely communication is key. I mean, the way that I operate is, I guess the way I separate myself from a lot of other designers, because I never claim that I'm the best designer in the world. I mean, there's tons of people who are more talented. What I set myself apart with is my communication, my customer service, I guess you could say, and really just being, you know, upfront and honest with clients. You know, if I have too much on my workload for this week, just being, you know, upfront and honest, saying I need a few more days, that could lead to, you know, them allowing me the few extra days. While as if I took on that product and then didn't deliver in time, that could, you know, end that relationship with that client. So it's, you know, kind of a win-win to keep that communication going. And most clients are, you know, really understanding. I mean, everyone's human. Everyone has their own schedules that they're going about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's what I've been running into recently when I started diving into doing like thumbnail design, is yeah, just like when, like, even when I go out of town, like originally I just wouldn't think of it, but you know, working with content creators, it's like their schedule doesn't revolve around like the weekdays. So it's making sure if they were to need anything, especially if there's a quick turnaround situation where that seems like it comes up more than often, or more often than not, you know, making sure I just send a quick message off and be like, hey, I'm just let you know, I'll be out of town till Sunday afternoon. You know, I'll let you know when I'm back. If you need anything, just, you know, let me know. Do you find, I get, yeah, to segue off of like their schedules don't really work within those, like, those weekdays. Granted, I don't know if your client schedules are like that, but my clients have been. Have you ever found yourself like stressing over working on the weekends, or are you like completely okay with that?
I think I'm completely okay with it. I've kind of, if you kind of like go over my work history and everything, I've really always had a bunch on my plate at one time. I mean, even if I'm talking about now, I probably have, you know, 4 to 5 major freelance clients that are, you know, on a routine basis, but mm-hmm. I'm also going for my MBA on the side as well online.
Oh, hell yeah. Good for you.
So back then, you know, I was in college and doing all that with the freelance and day jobs as well. And now it's, you know, I kind of just always have had this balancing act going. So I'm really always used to working, you know, when they need me. Like I've done the early mornings, the late nights, the weekends, mm-hmm. You know, taking my laptop to family events, vacations, et cetera. It's just what you have to do sometimes, but also you do get those points to where, you know, that hard work comes in handy, because then there are times where you can relax because you took that time.
Right. Yeah. I am finding that as well. It's like, yeah, the time that you put in on the weekends, that, you know, when it's needed, usually that time allotment and that time dedication, usually get that back in the next weekend or even during the next week, you know, like
definitely
it, let's just say you usually do a freelance work, you know, Tuesday nights or whatever. Right. For me, for instance, I, you know, after work, I'm doing freelance work. Let's say I do something on Saturday, then that Tuesday night where I usually would have a project to do, then, you know, that goes away. Then you have free time then, you know. It's usually like, I don't know if supplemental is the right word, but, you know, supplemental definitely isn't the right word. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, usually it just goes hand in hand. It kind of works in circles, you know.
Definitely.
So the next thing when it comes to, like, communication is – the reach out to clients. Like, are you like cold, like when you, I mean, obviously I feel like when people get started as a freelancer, they cold email, like that's a cold, like everyone, it's a cold email mm-hmm. almost. I mean, yeah. Touch on that. Did you have to cold email people, or did you have just mutual connections where you were just like, hey, just let me know if you need work, you know, those type of things?
Yeah. So, I mean, from the get-go, I think that's another thing that kind of set me apart was, even if I go all the way back to, you know, when I first started designing and I was still big into, you know, YouTube and things like that and the gaming side of things, I was hitting up, you know, all the big YouTubers at that point. I mean, I've worked with some pretty big Call of Duty YouTubers from back in the day, and that was literally just, you know, cold emailing them, because you really never know who's going to respond.
Right.
But I guess over the years, I've definitely built up a foundation to where I can get the word of mouth connections now for getting some of my clients. But I still do cold emailing pretty much every day, if not most days. And that doesn't mean, you know, emailing to ask if they need design services, but more so I'm constantly on LinkedIn all day connecting with everyone around the industry.
Right.
And really just trying to build that network. I mean, even if it's just hopping on a call for an hour just like this to meet someone one-on-one, you never know where that connection may lead later on.
Right, for sure. Yeah, I knew this conversation was going to eventually go into, you know, connections and the importance of that. I mean, that's a recurring topic on this podcast is, you know, valuing those connections, whether it is like something like this, like a, I mean, our call right now technically isn't face to face, but,
hey, they don't know that,
right? They don't know that they only see the back end, right? They only see the back end. Yeah, like
it's all AI generated.
Exactly. Yeah. It all gets filled in eventually. Yeah. Whether it is like a face to face, you know, online call or even a meeting in person, or maybe just like a simple connection through LinkedIn, you know, and then a simple message over, be like, hey, thanks for connecting, you know, something like that, you know, like the importance of that and putting your best foot forward in first impressions is so big and so beneficial when it comes to this. Yeah. Again, you never really know, where that comes up, you know. I guess, would you be like, can you tell about a story like where that type of, you know, getting a connection, you know, whenever, and then that connection coming back and I don't want to say supplying, but supplying you work or, you know, getting an opportunity from that?
No, definitely. I could give two great stories right off the bat, and they, you know, follow my work history exactly. So, prior to my current freelancing, I was with United States Golf Association. And before I started there, I was kind of in the real big networking phase of my life where I was hopping on calls every day with pretty much everyone around the sports industry. So I ended up connecting with someone who worked for the XFL, you know, seeing if there was any opportunities there. And she ended up connecting me with the creative director at United States Golf Association, which we're hiring for a job. And so I ended up getting the job there without even having to go through, like, you know, the whole process that probably everyone else went through, just based off that connection alone. And it wasn't even like a sport I was looking at, like, no offense to golf, but I wasn't a viewer of it, a player of it. So I wasn't even like looking in that space, and ended up, you know, me getting that role that I had for almost a year there. And then most recently I could use, so currently I freelance for X Games. That's one of my big clients. And the way I got that role was I connected with the person who's the director of content there now, prior to him even getting that role. And so months went by after he got that role, and I kind of just checked in here and there asking if X Games ever needed anything. I'd, you know, love to have an opportunity to prove my worth. And, you know, fast forward to now, I've been with them for 4 months. So that was basically just from a connection. Didn't have to interview or anything. He already was familiar with my work from the connection and, you know, speaking prior. So really works out.
Yeah. Yeah. That's your situation with the X Games is basically how my situation with my current job worked. Like, me and Tony or Tony and I, we knew each other. He was on the podcast. Sorry for the people that don't know, Tony Turnquist is a creative director for Capture Sports and Entertainment, the people that I'm currently employed by and I currently work with. But anyways, Tony, we connected before, and then he ended up coming on the podcast, and just simply from that connection, he was already the creative director at Capture, and they had an opening, and basically like your situation with USGA, you know, I got the job without even, you know, going through that interview process and being considered against, or at least by my knowledge, against other candidates. Like, I talked to Tony, and then I met with President Shelley, and then, you know, that was basically it. And then, you know, thankfully Tony offered me the job, and here I am today. But yeah, it's just
get to do all the Mike Evans graphics,
right? Yeah, it's so fun. But yeah, like, I never would have, like, that was my first experience with that whole, you know, connections paying off situation. And yeah, it was just crazy how that worked. And finally seeing that come to fruition, it's like, you know, the value you put behind the connections that you're making, especially, you know, I mean, you can speak on this obviously, but coming into the sports industry from a gaming world, it's like, they sort of work the same way, but not really. Like, I feel like designers in the gaming world are a lot more competitive against each other.
And then definitely
going into the sports community, like, it's more of actually like a design community. And those connections are valued a lot more, not only for yourself, but by the people you are connecting with, you know? Like, they're definitely not just connecting with you to see if they can post a job or, you know, or get something from you. It's like a mutual friendship almost. You know, obviously a true friendship with some people, but a mutual friendship with other people. And then that just sticks and, you know, there's value both ways and everything like that.
No, definitely. Completely agree.
Yeah. So more along the lines of working within freelance, and that's going to be the topic of this podcast. If people haven't realized already, When it comes to delivery, I mean, obviously you have your project brief, you have what needs to be done. A big concept within the freelancing world, especially when you start out, is over delivering on projects. Is that something that you still do? Is that something you value? Do you do that whenever you see fit, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, I would say it definitely depends on the product. And I think over-delivering can be a few different things. It could be the obvious of doing more work than what was asked. So mm-hmm. if, for example, a client is asking for social graphics, I may go ahead and make, you know, some phone wallpapers, you know, if it's an event coming up or something like that, just to throw in there. And that, you know, obviously makes the client more impressed and mm-hmm. obviously more willing to come back to you.
Right.
So there's that way of over-delivering, but I also think there's other ways, such as, you know, if you spend that, if I give an example of this week, I had a client requesting graphics that needed a really quick turnaround. So I really just stayed up, you know, the past few nights and grinded those graphics out so that they could have those in time. And it obviously sends a good impression to them, mm-hmm. But is a way of over-delivering, even though it's exactly what they, you know, asked to be delivered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's you. Like, when I think of over delivering, it's not always like it's not always giving them extra, you know, extra like product or extra, you know, graphics. It's mm-hmm. you know, it's those simple things of, instead of me doing this tomorrow morning, I'm just gonna do this now and get it over to them, you know, as quickly as possible. Like, when you see, like, if they give you a timeline of 3 days, do it in 1 day, mm-hmm. you know?
Exactly. So,
but there also is another side to that. It's like, if you do that, if you do it that quickly, will they expect that? You know, will they expect that every time? Have you ran into anything like that?
I would say I have. I wouldn't say they come out and say that, nor do I probably confront it. But I would definitely say that does happen, and it does become a thing.
I may have put you in a sticky situation here.
No. You're completely okay. I think there's a balance, because there's going to be times where, you know, they're asking for you to kind of work those extra hours or, you know, turn something around quicker. Right. While there may be another time where it's the complete opposite. So I think there's really always a balance. And of course, in the freelance world, we're kind of supposed to be grateful and should be grateful of every client that we do have, because there's no requirement for them to come to you. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to kind of always keep that, you know, in the back of your head that, you know, you are not representing another company, you're representing yourself. So every action you have is your brand, is your, you know, reputation. So I think that's just something to always keep in mind throughout these, you know, events and actions that happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great thing that you touched on that. It's like you're representing 100% like yourself and your situation. So it's not like through, you know, honestly, sometimes representing a company is a lot more pressure, because, you know, you're representing more than just yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, you're representing not only like the people that are owning and running the company, but you're representing your fellow employees, your fellow coworkers. But when it comes to, you know, representing yourself independently, one small thing can, I don't want to say ruin a reputation, but taint a relationship that you're, that could have potentially gone, you know, gone on for the long run and became a recurring, revenue stream, you know, not just looking at it monetarily. I mean, obviously everyone wants to get paid and everyone wants to see some monetary benefit, but you know, keeping that relationship as positive as possible. And, you know, I don't want to say it, another cliche, you know, doing what you're supposed to do. But yeah, like doing what you're supposed to do, keeping that relationship as fresh as possible. You know, I don't know how it is for you with this and how you view it, but how I view my clients, like I want to connect with them on a friend basis and on a personal basis. Some people don't like doing that. Some people like keeping business and friendships, but I feel like the only way to connect and make a relationship out of something and work well together is if you develop a friendship. What do you think on that whole aspect of things? And I guess like when it does come to, this can go into, this can go into like client retention and having recurring clients. But what do you think on, you know, developing more of like a friendship with clients rather than like a business to business type of relationship?
No, I definitely agree. I think that's one of the reasons people come to freelancers is because they get that, you know, connection to the person that they're working with. I mean, they could easily go to, you know, an agency or, you know, a studio that has a bunch of designers under them, but then they won't know who's truly handling the product. They can't interact one-on-one to discuss the product. So I think it's very important to kind of develop that connection and friendship. I mean, I've had clients that, you know, I've worked with over the years that I've, you know, they've flown into Chicago. We've hung out, you know, we meet up at events. So it, you know, really goes past, you know, just the chat boxes that we have online. And I think that really, you know, develops a sort of trust between the relationship with the client. And, you know, it goes hand in hand with them coming back for more work or referring you for, you know, other work that they see around, which obviously helps with, you know, your client retention and client buildup as well.
Yeah. So perfect segue going into client retention. And I mean, we talked about on word of mouth, but you said referrals, that whole aspect of things. I would say referrals and word of mouth is probably, you know, obviously doing the work is the most important, but the second most important is getting, you know, being in the word of mouth type of scenario, you know, you getting recommended, you getting referred, clients referred to you or, you know, whatever that situation may be. When it comes to your experience with retaining clients, I mean, this may stem back to the whole communication aspect of things. Do you find yourself, like, I bet there's more sides to this than this simple question, but do you find yourself retaining more than searching, or do you find yourself searching for clients more than, you know, getting recurring work?
I think it depends on the scenario. I think there's a balance between both. I think if I use an example, like a year ago, let's say, I probably was on the more searching side, while as now, you know, I have that foundation built up. So I think there's a constant balance to where obviously you don't want to have too much work on your plate. So at that time, you're going to slow down your searching efforts, while as at other times, you know, maybe off season for, let's say you work for football and it's off season for football. Well, then obviously you can, you know, kind of search for clients to fill that gap. As far as like retaining them, I think it's, you know, a combination of things. I think it's the communication. I think it's, you know, delivering the work that they ask for. But overall, it's, you know, they're trying to make a connection with someone. They're trying to have a designer who's not just, you know, plug and play, or not plug and play, you know, design X and they get X. They want somebody who is going to interact with them, you know, over deliver at times and really just have that connection between you guys.
For sure. Yeah. I really like how you put that. Yeah, I think the toughest thing for me has been, getting, you know, consistent client flow and being able to, you know, I mean, I work with a couple clients. I work with two clients, you know, rather consistently. But then, you know, those like third and fourth and fifth clients, you know, come back every so often and they're like, you know, just they're, when they're in a pinch, they come to me, they know I'm be able to get something done quickly. You know, but the toughest thing for me has been client retention and getting that recurring, you know, recurring revenue stream through a consistent client, you know? And granted, I am still pretty new to the whole freelancing side of things. You know, actually like developing a system for myself and dedicating time towards it. So that's definitely something that's still, I mean, you know, working out the kinks. I'm learning as I go, basically. There's not really
always learning.
Right. Yeah. There's not really like a roadmap to getting into freelance, you know? So it's like it's a whole thing.
I think everyone can take their own approach too.
Right. Yeah, for sure. There's different stories and, you know, not a lot of consistency between those stories, which is the best part. There's not like one true way. Like we can say like work on client retention, you know, be good at communicating, you know, I mean, obviously those things are good to have, mm-hmm. but it's like, there's not one set in stone way to become successful as a freelance designer. You know, everyone's experience is completely different, which I love about it. I love hearing about different experiences. It's fantastic. So I guess one thing I'm really curious is you've worked in full-time scenarios. You've also worked in freelance scenarios. Where do you see your career kind of going towards?
I think for now, so right now, like I said, I'm kind of doing an MBA on the side as well.
Right.
So the freelance kind of helps out with that and having time to devote to classes when I need to. Mm-hmm. I really love the flexibility between that. And like I said, I have that, you know, client foundation already built up. So I don't technically have to worry. In the long run, definitely want to head down more of a full-time route. I think in the long, long run, no matter what, I'm going to end up being my own boss and whatever that ends up being. I've just always had, you know, kind of that entrepreneurial, you know, mind and business acumen to myself.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would say in the next, you know, few years, I definitely see myself in a full-time role, hopefully within the sports industry. That's definitely where, you know, I want to stay and explore, and hopefully towards more of a creative director role is ultimately where I'm heading.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that, man. I love that. Yeah, I'm always curious with people. I've asked this question to numerous people within the industry, kind of similar position to you are, like they've had experience in both realms. So hearing that, the aspiration and the expectations is always super entertaining. It's always nice. And then you hear it, and then, you know, a couple of years down the road, you're like, they're doing it, you know. it's always awesome to see.
Gotta put it out in the world.
right. Well, man, I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to come on and talk shop, even though there's a little bit of technical difficulty on our end that they don't know about. But yeah, so basically, I have to say it. So basically, the camera that the viewers are seeing through here, on the side, we're in like an external call outside of like OBS or whatever. This isn't like pre-recorded that you're seeing. It's being recorded live. So the whole setup, whatever. Chris can't see my face.
The viewers, I'm imagining one.
Yeah. The viewers can see my face, but Chris can't see my face. So he's been talking.
It's okay. I'll be able to rewatch the video and watch you the whole time.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. But yeah, so that's been the technical difficulties. Chris, you've been awesome. I really appreciate the flexibility. And I really appreciate the open-mindedness to come on and, you know, give the opportunity to the viewers to listen in on your story and your experiences, and also be an open book and share away. That's always fantastic. That's how people learn. That's how, that's what this podcast is for. So, I really appreciate it. I really, really do.
Of course. It's my pleasure. Happy to come back anytime and talk more. If anyone has, you know, any questions or anything, I'm literally an open book, like you said.
Awesome. For that, go down below, viewers, go down below. All of Chris's links will be there, his portfolio and his Twitter for sure. We'll be down there. So yeah, feel free, connect with Chris. Who knows, you may see him on here again. Anyways, this has been episode 98 of Creative Process. Thank you for coming out. As always, make sure you tell someone that you love them. All right. Take it easy.